Thinking your chronic back pain was caused by an old sports injury? You could be painfully wrong. It might be an inflammatory condition called ankylosing spondylitis, or AS. Stay tuned, because later in the show, we'll tell you more. This message is brought to you by AbbVie.
Welcome to the Roughing the Passer podcast, Thursday edition. That means some picks, and that means some free money for you, because if Nick Costas and I, Will Brinson here, stay as warm as we stayed last week. I think, Nick, you were warm. I was quite hot, went 4-1 with my best bets. Should have
white.
Been.
White. You went white hot.
White hot.
White.
Yes, like scorching.
Not white, like white.
Like white.
I love when people pronounce white, white, or get the H sound with the WH. You know who does that? Heath Cummings.
Does he really?
Yes.
Is that a Kansas City thing?
I don't know, but it's like a where. Like where? What?
Yeah, like where to me is just like I pronounce where like W-E-A-R.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And white is like W-I-T-E. White.
Yeah, totally. H is a...
But the way
H,
the way that you said white.
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 Yeah, that's how white hot we are with an H.
But that's like the that's like Stewie from Family Guy with the cool whip.
Cool whip. That is a good call. Family Guy is kind of drifted towards underrated status at this point, right?
It was so overrated that it didn't become underrated. It just was overrated. But now, like, it's been out of the public eye. I think it might actually be underrated.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it got to the point where I didn't enjoy watching it as much anymore. I don't watch it anymore. I mean, it was hilarious for a long time, and now I never watch it. Now I kind of,
you know,
now I kind of want to actually watch
it. I don't watch TV at all besides for sports. I'm having dinner with my godfather the other day,
mm-hmm.
and he goes, "Do you watch TV, like actual shows?" And I was like, "No. Like, I watch Game of Thrones and sports. Like, that's
dude,
it.
Are you watching Westworld?"
No.
Okay, you need to watch Westworld.
It's good?
Yeah, it's good.
HBO, right?
Yeah, it's three episodes in. It comes on Sunday.
What's it about?
So, I'm not big into like artificial intelligence and stuff, like movies like that. But my buddy is.
You didn't like The Matrix?
Okay, no. I'm cool with that. Like, but I mean, I'm just not like huge into it. You know, like I like Star Wars. Not huge into Star Wars. I mean, just not. You know, I like it. It's fine. It's good. Tremendous. You know, whatever. But this is about a world. It's about a fictional planet. It costs $40,000, or not a fictional planet, a fictional like land. And it's set up, and it's the Wild West, right? And it's run by these people who charge $40,000. You can like get, like you, like if you and I had, you and I could go, like let's say like I just had a, I'm having a rough time. We're both rich, and you're like, all right, I'm going to take you to Westworld. You need to take some time away. And there are all these like, they're called hosts, but they're, some of them are attractive women, some of them are cowboys, some of them are bandits, and you can go live in the Wild West for like 2 weeks or as long as you want, and you can do whatever you want. Like,
interesting.
Yeah, and it is wildly complex in terms of the storytelling, but it's you can tell there's a lot going on. It's a good show. You should check it out. If you watch it, watch the first two episodes back to back.
I'm getting in on it.
Okay, it's not the next Game of Thrones, but it's like HBO's newest offering for Sunday night, and it's white hot. So, big show today. We're going to run through and make all our picks. We will also denote best bets. I just submitted mine. I don't know if they're up on the website yet, but I got them in front of me. We will also talk, speaking of white hot, we will talk to white hot pass rusher Von Miller of the Denver Broncos. Spoke to him about playing Brock Osweiler, and this is old teammate, and how he's faring this year. He's the sack leader in the NFL, amongst other things. He's doing some Old Spice commercials that are pretty amusing. He carries an egg on a spoon, and he has a handful of bees. Old Spice. They do. They're always fascinating with what they do in terms of those ads. But anyway, let's get to these picks, and then we'll talk to Von Miller at the end of the show. First up on the docket, the Thursday night game, Bears at Packers. We're recording this on a Thursday, so you may be listening to it on a Friday. So sorry. I see this game, Nick. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are struggling. I look at it, and I get now it's down to 7.5. If it gets below a touchdown, I like the Packers, but I think I have to like the Bears if it's over a touchdown. Even though the Bears are terrible, the Packers are good at home, and this is sort of a get-right game for Aaron Rodgers, I have a hard time taking 9 points with a Packers team that just looks lethargic and bad.
I don't know. Like I've heard other people say that this week, and I actually said it once myself this week. Like, I love that we assume that just because Green Bay is playing like a team that's not very good, that it's automatically a get right spot for Aaron Rodgers. The Packers offense is broken.
Yeah.
Like, the Packers offense is terrible, and Rodgers does not look like the same player. I think this is a crazy line. And look, and if you flip it at this point, 7.5, you're saying to me that the Green Bay would be -1.5 in Chicago. I think you'd be pretty tempted to take the Packers at that point. But given how banged up that backfield is and how bad this Packers offense has looked, the injuries in Green Bay secondary, Brian Hoyer's not been awful this year. There's only one way to play this game. You got to take the points with the Chicago Bears if the spread's over a touchdown. Yeah, and I wouldn't be shocked if the Bears won this game outright.
Wow. Let me ask you this. And I made this prediction. I was on Time to Shine with our buddy Adam Shine. Tremendous guy. Tremendous show on CBS Sports Network. It comes on at 6 p.m. every night. You should watch it. At least, I think, Tuesday through Friday. But I was on there, and he asked me who's the first coach that gets fired. Bold prediction here. If the Bears beat the Packers on this Thursday night game.
No chance.
No chance?
No chance.
I mean, I don't think Mike McCarthy will actually be fired, but I don't think he's out of the realm. No, I'm not kidding.
Did Adam laugh at you when you said that?
No, he didn't laugh. I said Mike.
Because he was being nice. I know Adam well. He was laughing at you inside.
Well, no, it's fine. It's a laughable. I said, I mean, look, I'm couching this with, I don't think it's actually going to happen. But I don't, at a certain point, okay, if you're Mike McCarthy, your job is to coach the Green Bay Packers. And the one thing you can't do if you don't want to get fired is screw up Aaron Rodgers. And guess what he's done, Nick? He screwed up Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fascinating book that comes out in 10, 15 years from now as to what the hell is happening with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, look, the offense is, if he refuses, if they lose to the Bears and they have 10 days before their next game, there's going to be some heated conversations in Green Bay. And at some point, Ted Thompson is, I mean, I think Ted Thompson is too patient to fire him midseason. I just don't think it makes any sense. What are you going
to
do?
Like fire Mike McCarthy midseason?
He's blown. Look, Mike McCarthy might suck as a coach. He's blown a bunch of playoff games.
He won a Super Bowl.
With Aaron, congratulations.
The only game that you can say that they blew is the NFC Championship game against Seattle.
Congratulations for winning one Super Bowl with the most physically gifted quarterback
in
the
history. I mean, Favre only won one Super Bowl. Are we killing Mike Holmgren?
Yes.
And Dan Marino never won a Super Bowl. Should we kill Don Shula? I mean, what are you talking about here?
I mean, look, I think it's great that they won one Super Bowl. I adamantly believe that if Aaron Rodgers retires with one Super Bowl win, and that's not crazy because he's only got, 6 years left, 7 years left? If he retires with one Super Bowl win, his career is, hugely disappointing.
Is Dan Marino's career disappointing?
Yes, because he doesn't have a Super Bowl. I think if you ask Dan Marino, are you disappointed? I mean, Charles Barkley is a great example. Charles Barkley makes fun of everyone, and then as soon as he does, if he, pokes fun at Michael Jordan, Michael Jordan just flashes his fingers. Huge disappointment.
But he won one. Barkley never won one. Rodgers won one.
I know. And Marino, if Rodgers only has one Super Bowl, I think he will call that very disappointing.
Yeah, but Mike McCarthy's not getting fired is the point.
He could get fired. I don't think he's getting fired this week. I think if the Packers continue to stink, he's getting fired.
If they don't make the playoffs, there's a shot.
If they don't make the playoffs, he's gone.
You think so?
Oh, I think so.
I could see it.
I mean,
but not if they lose tonight.
I don't think Ted Thompson is desperate to blow things up. And we talked about this on Tuesday with Pete Prisco. There are some simple solutions here. How about, coach and scheme these receivers open? But if he refuses to do that, and the Broncos figured out how to beat this defense, and they beat the crap out of them last year. And since then, teams have followed that blueprint, and they've just said, look, you're Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb aren't beating us one-on-one. I saw a good explanation from Kurt Warner. Jason Wilde tweeted it out, but it's basically.
I saw it.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, look, he doesn't trust his receivers and the offense is broken. If you break the offense you're the offensive mastermind, you could potentially get fired. Anyway, I think the Bears will cover because the Packers aren't very good. Moving along. That was a fun discussion. Moving along to the London brunch game. Do you like brunch football? I like brunch football, Nick.
Who doesn't love a brunch? I just like football in general. More football. I love it.
I do think, though, that Kevin Clark's piece on The Ringer held some truths to it. I think that football is on a, might be, the NFL might be on a little too much. You know, it's no longer that Sunday at 1 o'clock. It may be a little less special than it used to be. But
that's true.
I'm excited for Giants-Rams. Giants, quote unquote, at the Rams, but it's a London game. So the Rams are +2.5. Initially, I loved the Rams because I looked at it on the sheet and I was like, oh, cool, this is an away game. Or the Giants are road favorites. That's ridiculous. And then I realized it's London. I don't really like touching London games. I think I would take the Giants here because they're a better team, maybe. But I don't even know. These London games are always weird.
Yeah, I like the Rams with the points here, and I think the Rams are going to win the game. And, you know, I'm a Giants guy, but I just don't see it. The offensive line's terrible. The Rams' defensive front getting healthier, and I just think they're going to be all over Eli Manning in this game. And very quietly, Case Keenum's been pretty good the last couple weeks. He's actually statistically been better than Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, if not for the fact that Matthew Stafford went absolutely nuts last week, we'd be talking about the 4-2 Rams and Case Keenum as a guy who's playing very good football right now. I don't like the Giants in this spot. I think that they are a team that will eventually fold when it comes down to it. And the other thing with the Giants, you know, I think it's funny that Ben McAdoo and Eli Manning and company, like, everyone wants to get all fatherly with Odell Beckham Jr. When you've got a guy in Josh Brown who admits to physical and emotional abuse of his wife, and this guy's still on the football team, but no one on the Giants wants to open their mouth, that what they want to do is talk about Odell Beckham in the kicking net, which is benign as it gets when it actually in relation to real life. But Josh Brown gets a free pass and a charter flight to London right now. We're finding guys for doing bow and arrows on the field, but Josh Brown can still kick on Sundays. Disgrace. Disaster. I would love to know what's happened to the New York Giants once the pillar of integrity in the National Football League. Giants go to London and lose to the Rams on Sunday.
It's to me, this Giants team, both in terms
they're fraudulent.
They are fraudulent. And I think I actually picked the Rams on the CBS Experts Picks page, so I'll go with the Rams too. I probably thought it was a road game, but for the Giants. But the thing about the Giants to me. And if you take all these things in some totality with the Odell Beckham stuff and the way people are talking and then the Josh Brown stuff too, do you think Tom Coughlin would have kept him on the team?
Like, Josh Brown.
Yeah, he came out this week or today and admitted it. Right, the admission is new.
I'm sure that the Giants know.
Of course, the Giants know, but I'm saying I think Tom Coughlin would have made. I feel like this team lacks Tom Coughlin.
I could not agree more. Now, look, here's the problem, though. Tom Coughlin needed to go. Like, sure, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Tom Coughlin should have remained the Giants coach. He needed to go. He butchered the clock for the better part of the last three seasons, and last year was one of the great butcherings in the history of butcherings. Tom had to go. Now, what you could say is maybe it wasn't a good idea to promote Ben McAdoo to head coach, and that's looking like a disaster right now, too. But I can't kill the Giants for not keeping Tom Coughlin. Maybe they could have done better than McAdoo, probably, but Coughlin needed to go.
I can't have a guy with Ben McAdoo's haircut demanding perfection.
It's not just the haircut. It's the haircut and mustache combination.
The suits he wears.
The sunglasses.
How is that guy demanding perfection?
It's awful.
Yeah. Vikings at Eagles. I can't decide. Vikings are road favorites by 2.5 points, and I can't decide if this is a situation where the Eagles are where the like. I kind of feel like this is sometimes a line is just a line, and the Vikings are just a better team against an Eagles offense that isn't going to be able to handle that pass rush.
Yeah, I'm contractually obligated to take the home underdog in this spot because a huge public percentage is on the Vikings, and that's just my deal.
Yeah.
But with that being said, I don't know if this is going to end up being one of my best bets. I actually think the card's very difficult this week. So the Eagles might end up making my card here at +2.5 at home. But as for right now, I can't call them a best bet, but I would begrudgingly back the Eagles here in this spot in the Sam Bradford revenge game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I think the Giants, I mean, the Vikings offense will struggle against the Eagles. But man,
well, that's the thing. Yes,
but Carson Wentz looked really bad under pressure. I mean, hey, look, it's okay. I mean, he's a rookie quarterback with not a ton of experience, and he just lost his starting right tackle, and now there's a lot of pressure coming their way. And Mike Zimmer's had 2 weeks to prep for him. I like the Vikings, but the line and the public interest scare me. What I do love, maybe it's too obvious. The Tennessee Titans are -2.5. Against the Colts. Do you want to know? This is crazy to me. I was looking at Football Outsiders today and their DVOA, which measures teams and rates them based, advanced statistics and all of that. But a very good formula to follow. Tennessee is a top 10 offense and defense. They are physical at the running the ball, and they're physical on the defensive line. And that's where the Colts are softest. And this is my best bet of the week. I think Tennessee annihilates a Colts team that's reeling off a bad loss to Houston. And we see Derrick Henry and DeMarco Murray both run for 100 yards rushing.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be an annihilation, but I'm with you here on Tennessee. And it hurts me to go with Tennessee because of the way they screwed me this past Sunday at -7. I mean, that is, I honestly, it took me a couple days to get over. As bad as it gets, -7, you allow Cody Kessler to morph into Joe Montana, score a touchdown, recover an onside kick, and score another touchdown in the final 2 minutes. Are you kidding me? That killed me last week. That was
what was
really
your
bad.
Your
but I'll go back to the well.
What was your chat to me? It was like, are you kidding me, Tennessee?
Probably with an F-bomb. Kind of you to leave that out, but I'm sure the F-bomb made its way in there. Tennessee should win this game. I can't believe I'm saying this about a Mike Mularkey coach team. They're the more cohesive unit right now. This Colts team feels like they're about to fall apart, and I don't even think Andrew Luck's greatness can save them in this game. I think the Titans win in this spot. I don't know if it's going to be a blowout, but I like Tennessee to win and cover.
Bills at Dolphins. Oh my God, I'm doing this 2 weeks in a row. The Dolphins, once again, one of my best bets. By the way, I predicted sort of a Dolphins win against the Steelers last week. I said I kind of think the Dolphins might win this game, which is not
that's not a prediction.
Well, it's a sort of predicted. I was totally soft about it. Softer than the Colts offensive line. But I like the Dolphins getting three against the Bills. The Bills are playing really well, and LeSean McCoy is running the football. But I think we saw the Dolphins offensive line finally get healthy last week, and Jay Ajayi ran for 200 yards. I don't think he does that this week, but I think he gets over 100. Arian Foster contributes a little bit. Ryan Tannehill takes some shots down the field, and the Bills finally lose a game against the Dolphins. I'll probably regret this about 3:15 on Sunday.
It's one of my two best bets of the week. I also like the Miami Dolphins. I picked the Dolphins last week as well. Not to win, but I did like them to cover. This line's crazy. It implies that if the game were in Buffalo, the Bills would be -9. In that case, you grab the points with Miami. This is an easy one. Give me the Dolphins.
Jets hosting the Ravens. Jets -1. The Geno coaster begins. It was a pick'em until Geno was announced. So how awkward is that if it moves to Jets +1 when Geno's announced as quarterback? Like, Vegas is like, all right, Geno is worth -1 points. Instead, they're now a 1-point favorite. That was nice of them to do that. I don't think that Geno will make a huge difference here, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Jets won this game. I mean, it's a season backs against the wall. Baltimore, I don't know. This game is not an attractive football game. I think Baltimore is fraudulent, but I think the Jets are also terrible.
I like the Jets here. If it's a pick, or Jets -1 or Jets +1. Geno can sling it, man. Like, I'm not saying that he's a great quarterback, but the guy's got a hell of an arm. And this defense, I think, will step up on Sunday. This is a Ravens offense that's in some trouble right now. Baltimore's lost 3 in a row. Like, but you look at that record, 3-3, and you think, okay, they're decent. They have not looked good the last couple of weeks. I will grab the Jets here and feel pretty decent about it.
You know, what's weird is, so the first 3 weeks of the season, I predicted the Ravens would finish last in their division. Probably not going to happen because the Browns are terrible. But the first 3 weeks of the season, I was getting...
You had some bad predictions, man.
Well, if the Ravens finish with a losing record, I'm fine with that because, the Browns lost 4 quarterbacks, whatever. But I had the Chiefs in the last 2. That's not looking so hot either. But Ravens fans spent the entire first 3 weeks of the season tweeting me, oh, how about that prediction, Will Brinson, you loser? You picked the Ravens to be last. It's weird, guys. You haven't tweeted me.
Well, it is a terrible prediction, though. They're right.
Well, it could happen. It could still happen.
No, it won't.
It could. It could happen.
There are 3 games up already on the Browns. There's no chance.
And they play the Browns one more time, and if they lose this week and the Browns steal a win, it could happen.
No.
Okay, I'm just saying it could happen.
No, it can't.
It can't happen. Another one of my best bets this week, Chiefs hosting the Saints. I think the Chiefs are going to beat the Saints by like 17 or 24 points.
I like the Saints with the points here in the spot. I just think New Orleans is going to be able to score enough points to keep it close. And the thing that scares you a little bit is that Kansas City is going to be able to run the ball down their throats and control the clock, time of possession. I will couch this pick by saying that I don't want to set it in stone just yet. I want to do a little more research on this game, but we do tape this on Thursday. I don't put my Super Contest picks in until Saturday and don't make my picks on Sportsline usually until Sunday morning. So I'm not going to give a firm pick on this because I made a pick last week, and then I changed it right before the game, and people were coming at me, oh, you picked this on the podcast. Like, we taped this on Thursday morning, like, with more information, more things. Like, I do reserve the right to change my mind, and I will reserve the right to change my mind on this game. As of right now, I'm leaning the Saints with the points, but it is not a firm lean, and I do reserve the right to change my mind to Kansas City.
I'm not a big fan of 7-point spreads, but I just think New Orleans is a little bit overvalued because they beat the Panthers. They are a horrific, horrific defense. Jamal Charles looked pretty good in some limited touches. Spencer Ware has looked fantastic. I think they're going to run both of those guys 20 times, or at least get them each 20 touches. And those touches are going to average 5 to 6 yards per carry or yards per touch, maybe more. And the result of that is going to be the Chiefs just possessing the ball for 35, 36 minutes of this game. And they're going to romp. Saints could totally hose me with a late touchdown, garbage touchdown for Drew Brees to Brandon Cooks, but that's okay. Redskins at Lions. Oh, look, another one of my best bets. The Redskins are winners of 4 straight, and they have a rushing offense all of a sudden. This is Scott McLuhan's vision come to life. Matt Jones running well behind Brandon Scherff. They passed on Leonard Williams for Brandon Scherff, and it looking, I mean, you know, not great, but it's looking okay. It looks like he's developing into a really good player. And the Lions are a terrible defense. And the Lions are a terrible football team that happens to, like, stick around in bad, ugly games against bad teams and then either win or lose late at the end. And I don't think that's going to happen. I think Washington is a superior football team. They're playing well over the last 4 weeks. And I like the Redskins to go in and physically dominate the Detroit Lions in this game.
I think that I agree with you here on the Redskins. I think they'll be able to score enough points here. Again, I don't feel great about this one. This game is very tough to predict. I've sort of gone back and forth with it. You made a compelling argument for the Redskins. I initially leaned Detroit playing at home in this spot, and Matthew Stafford's playing a tremendous brand of football, and he's a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins. How about this? I'm going to give a pass on this game for right now, which I know is sort of a cop-out, but legitimately, I just don't know who I like.
Would you like me to convince you?
You already did.
I'm going to convince you a little bit more. If you go to the NFL Experts picks page on CBS,
everyone's taking Detroit.
The only person taking Washington is yours truly. Same thing with Washington and Philly last week. I love the Redskins.
HTTR. Yeah. HTTR.
Yeah. I can't believe I'm back on this Redskins bandwagon. Unbelievable. Sunday at 1:00 on CBS, it's the Browns and the Bengals. The Browns are not going to win this game. The Bengals are 9.5-point favorites. The Browns are actually going to go 0-16. It's going to be amazing. They're going to go 0-16.
And that will make it impossible for the Ravens to finish in last.
That will make it impossible for the Ravens. If the Browns go 0-16, I can live. And the Ravens go 7-9 or 6-10, I'll live with it. I mean, that's, you know, Ravens fans aren't going to come at me and be like, ha, 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 you were wrong. We finished in third, loser. The Browns are weird. They keep covering and in games that they don't have any business covering. I think they're feistier than people are giving them credit for. This is a game for, if you're the Bengals, you gotta get that running game going, and this needs to be a Gio Bernard, Jeremy Hill dance party with Andy Dalton up top to AJ Green. If you're the Bengals and you want to, and this division has now been opened up because Ben Roethlisberger's hurt, you have to score some serious points on the Browns here. So I like the Bengals because they need it, but everything about this season says the Browns are going to cover the 9.5.
Yeah, I'm going to take the points here. That's it.
Okay.
It's too many points. Cincinnati's not that good. Cleveland finds a way to cover.
Okay. Raiders, Jaguars. This is a weird line.
This is my lock of the week in this game.
Jaguars -1. I like the Jaguars because the line is weird. It just scares me the other way. But the Raiders, everybody thinks the Raiders should be favored. I think everybody's going to be taking the Raiders. So I like the Jaguars.
I think Jacksonville is going to slam the Raiders in this game. Mm. I think it's going to be a double-digit win for Jacksonville.
Really?
I love the Jaguars in this spot.
I think the Raiders might be a little fraudulent.
Well, I don't know if they're like fraudulent. Like no, fraudulent maybe in the sense that they weren't as good as their record indicated. I still think they're a pretty good team, but I think Jacksonville's going to beat them at home.
Okay, so like by fraud, what I mean is, it's like my wife had a jewelry show at our house last night. And she was going to buy a necklace. It was one of her friends brings over the jewelry. It's like a trunk show. I don't know if you know what these things are. I don't know.
No.
I mean, okay. Well, anyway, she invites friends over. They all drink wine. If people buy stuff, then my wife gets some free stuff too for hosting it at the house. But she was going to purchase straight up a necklace for my mom's for Christmas. She tried to run one credit card through Square on this girl's phone, and it got declined. And I was out doing my fantasy basketball draft last night, so I wasn't checking email. Well, I got a fraud alert. And then she tries to run another credit card that gets declined, and I got a fraud alert. So I have two credit cards locked up last night. But meanwhile, my wife is at home, like having all of our credit cards declined in front of like her mother and a couple of her friends. Yeah, it's humiliating for her. But it's nice that fraud is there. I'm glad. So this Square thing, a little bit fraudulent, like the Raiders, a little bit fraudulent. You know what I'm saying?
I like it.
Okay. We're going to pause very quickly for a short commercial break. You'll hear the dulcet tones of Adam Azer talking about one of our sponsors, and then we'll come back for the 4 o'clock games.
Hey, sports fans. If you're like me, you love a pickup basketball game or a round of golf with your friends. And maybe you thought an awkward jump shot or a few ugly swings were causing your chronic back pain. Truth is, you could be painfully wrong. Because if your back pain started before age 40 and has lasted longer than 3 months, it could point to an inflammatory condition called ankylosing spondylitis, or AS. To learn if your symptoms could signal AS, take a short quiz at asbackpainquiz.com. Then talk to your doctor. Find out if you could be painfully wrong. This message is brought to you by AbbVie.
Buccaneers at 49ers. I can't take the 49ers anymore. I'm taking the Bucs. It's stupid. The 49ers are getting points at home against a bad Buccaneers team, but I can't take the 49ers anymore, Nick. I can't handle losing picks with the 49ers anymore.
You bet teams, bet numbers, not teams. This is an easy pick for San Francisco as a home underdog against the Tampa Bay team. That's not that good.
I know. I've got to suck it up and flip it back to the 49ers. Chargers at Falcons. I love the Chargers in this spot. They are being wildly undervalued. The Falcons did a great job going on the road and they beat the Broncos, nearly beat the Seahawks, but I like the Chargers in this spot. I like them +6.5. I like them to win outright.
I could definitely see it happening. And again, like, let's say you flip the line here. It implies Atlanta would be, a half-point favorite if the game were in San Diego. And I think you take the Chargers in that spot, right? Like, San Diego is a lot better than its 2-4 record would indicate. 6.5 is too many points. I don't know if I like the Chargers to win this game, but I do think they could, and I do think that they'll cover.
All right, Patriots at Steelers. The Steelers are 7-point underdogs at home against the Patriots after losing Ben Roethlisberger. It is something else. But I don't know what you do because it implies that Landry Jones is 10 points worse than Ben Roethlisberger.
Yes.
And you're saying yes, he is.
Do you disagree?
No, I don't disagree. Like, I don't have the stones to take the Steelers here. The Patriots are.
I do.
Do you? I think the Patriots are 5-1 against the spread.
I don't think that I'll take it in the contest or bet on it, but I will take I'll back the home team getting 7.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've got the Patriots. Everybody's taking the Patriots. It's too many points. New England looks really good, but goodness gracious, it is just a lot of points. The night game, this is the point in time, Nick, where I walk downstairs and I say, hey, honey, what's for dinner? And she says, oh, hold on. I'm just chopping these delicious fresh ingredients that we got from Blue Apron. If you're not using Blue Apron, what are you doing? And we're going to give you some free
Blue Apron.
We're going to give you some free food. BlueApron.com/RTP. We're making some roasted skin on chicken with these chicken with these roasted vegetables. And we got a pasta bake coming later this week. We got some pork burgers with beets and this like spicy. There's all kinds of delicious meals that Blue Apron's got this week. There's the roasted pork steamed bones with black garlic mayonnaise and spicy cabbage. I had that last week. It is tremendous. And the crispy chicken mayonnaise with warm Brussels sprouts, celery and potato salad. $10 a meal. It's cheap. It's easy. And we're going to give you 3 meals free with free shipping. Check out this week's menu by going to blueapron.com/RTP. You will love how good it feels and it tastes to create incredible home cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/RTP. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Tremendous night game. The Arizona Cardinals hosting the Sunday night game, hosting the Seattle Seahawks. The Arizona Cardinals are -2. I think that second half against the Jets, and I know it was a meaningless, crap Jets team. I thought the Arizona Cardinals looked like they are back. Seattle is playing really good football, but I like Arizona in this spot.
I think the Seahawks are just a better team, and Carson Palmer is not the same quarterback. This is an easy one for me. The Seahawks, I think, win this game outright.
I think it's a close game, though. Do you think it's a blowout by the Seahawks?
No, I don't think it'll be a blowout, but I think Seattle's going to win.
Okay. David Johnson, the best running back in football, by the way.
No, not named Le'Veon Bell.
I'd give it to David Johnson, but that's okay.
Those are the two best, clearly, I think.
All right, Texans-Broncos Monday night. The Broncos are 7.5-point favorites over a Texans team that won on Sunday night. But you talk about fraudulent. 4-2. How is this team 4-2? They are fraudulent. However, that's too many points for me, given the way that Denver has played on offense. So I like the Texans here getting the 7.5.
I think Osweiler's going to play a decent game here. And I know that's kind of contrarian here, but he seems to save his best for prime time and big moments. Remember last year, beating the Bengals in overtime on Monday night, beat the Patriots in overtime on Sunday night, the Sunday night comeback last week against the Colts. Now Monday night against his former team, he's going to be motivated. I think Trevor Siemian stinks, and I don't think the Broncos are going to be able to run the ball that effectively. I think Houston covers the spread. Maybe the Broncos win, but I like the Texans with the points.
All right. right. And now we got, speaking of the Broncos, we got, we're going to bring to the podcast Super Bowl MVP in the face of Old Spice's hardest work.
Very quickly here, before we get to Vaughn, can I toss this caveat out there?
Yeah.
Everyone's people listening to this right now are going to tweet me if and when I change some of my picks here. Okay. I'm going to say this. Through 7 weeks of this season, I have not had a more difficult time with a card. And I texted Will about this even before the show. This is very hard this week. There are a couple picks that I made here just because we made them because we're doing the podcast that I'm not 100% about just yet. You got the Saints and the Chiefs. I'm not 100% yet on the Chargers and Falcons, although I'm leaning towards San Diego. Not 100% on Patriots Steelers because I want to take the Steelers just because they're such a home dog, but the Patriots should kill them with Landry Jones starting. So if I change some of my picks here, we'll go to Sportsline, check my Twitter feed. I will tweet everything out and put everything out on Sportsline, or feel free to tweet me and I will let you know for sure.
Nick is at the Costas, a tremendous follow on Twitter. I think I've said a tremendous number of times today.
It's a great word.
And it is. Hombre, you're a bad hombre, Nick Costas. And
that's one of the best lines of all time.
And I'm at Will Brinson. And now we bring to the podcast, again, Super Bowl MVP and face of Old Spice's hardest working collection performance lineup, Vaughn Miller. Fans can see Vaughn in Old Spice's latest campaign by going to youtube.com/Old Spice. Vaughn, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good to hear, man. First, I'll ask you, you seem like, you know, a lot of times in sports, guys get paid and then they slide. Sometimes it happens in real life too, but guys get paid and then they take it easy. Seems like you took it up a notch. Did you feel like maybe a weight is off of your shoulders now that you got the contract? You can just go out and be yourself? You seem to be stepping up a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, it makes everything a whole lot, you know, easier. All I got to focus on is, you know, football every single day is really not, you know, where I'm not really not worried about getting hurt or, you know, anything like that. It's 100%, you know, football. And, you know, it makes everything a whole lot easier, especially on the football field.
Do you think, what is the highest number of sacks that you think you could conceivably achieve in a 16-game season?
I mean, I don't want to set boundaries on myself.
You think you could do 30 sacks in a season?
I mean, I feel like 30 sacks, what is that? It's just 10 three-sack games. You know, we got 16 games in a season. So I think it's definitely, you know, possible. You just got to get on one of those, you know, those rhythms, and get on that streak, and, you know, anything can happen.
Was the best thing that's happened to your career Wade Phillips coming to Denver? Because it seems like, to me, you're always really good in Foxy's, you know, 4-3, but this 3-4 setup where you kind of get to, you seem like more of a 3-4 outside linebacker than a 4-3 linebacker to me. Am I right on that?
I mean, I played my first, you know,
you were very good, very, very good with them too. Don't get me wrong.
I played my first 4 years in a 3-4 and these last two. My first 4 years in a 4-3 and these last two in a 3-4. So, I mean, I just try to be great in whatever defense that I get. You know, I've been with Coach Phillips for 2 years now. You know, he was definitely, you know, a huge factor, you know, in my career. But I've also had other, you know, huge factors in my career that really shaped the type of player that I am. So, you know, it's been a lot of factors. And, you know, I really do appreciate, you know, having Coach Phillips there in Denver, though.
So you don't really care whether it's a 3-4 or a 4-3. You like playing either one? I'm just curious.
Man, I just try to be there for my teammates no matter what. You know, I try to be great in coverage. I try to be great in coverage. I try to be great in the run. I try to be, you know, I definitely try to be great, you know, rushing the passer. And, you know, all the things that come in between, you know, being a great defensive player.
All right. Well, that was my next question. Do you feel like your ability to play against the run kind of gets – better question. Do you think that overall people ignore really good defensive players sometimes because they get too focused on sacks?
I mean, I just try to – I try to play in a way where you can't ignore it. You know, when you work in time of film and you watch me play the run and you watch me in coverage, I just try to, you know, perform in a way where you just can't ignore it. You know, I just try to be great in, you know, all around. Whatever it is that, you know, the coach asked me to do.
Did you guys think that the Broncos were underappreciated this offseason and before the season?
I mean, how can you be underappreciated? I mean, we won a Super Bowl. So, I mean, all the other stuff is really, it really doesn't matter to me. You know, some guys on the defense, you know, they take, you know, notice to that stuff. I mean, but for me, you know, we already won a Super Bowl. It's really, you know, what else could you, you know, want out of people? Let's go out and win those.
How surprised are you at the play of Trevor Siemian? You know, everybody discounted in this offseason. He's come in and just played, it just kind of fit seamlessly in that Gary Kubiak system, dealing with some injuries. And, you know, the last few games have been a bit of a struggle, but certainly playing above, I think, expectations, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's, you know, it is kind of, you know, surprising. I don't think any of us, you know, expected, you know, to see, you know, Trevor come out and perform that way, in the way that he has. So, I mean, in a sense, it's surprising, but on the other sense, it's really enjoyable, and it's really delightful, you know, to come in and get a guy that's already great. We just got to, you know, continue to take it one play at a time and improve as, you know, a whole team.
If on Monday night, if you, what will you say to Brock Osweiler if and when you sack him?
I don't know. What it's, you know, that's not really, you know, too. It's really nothing like that between me and Brock. We both,
sure,
you know, went through the, you know, the same type of, you know, situations together. We both went, you know, through, you know, contract negotiations. So, you know, I just try to take it on, you know, I just try to take it one play at a time and just let the game play itself out. Brock, you know, I'm happy for everything that he's done, and I want to see him do, you know, great things, just not on Monday.
That's fair. What do you think about this? It kind of bugs me a little bit that the NFL is. Do you think the NFL is taking the fun out of celebrations? You know, you can't do sexually. They got sexually suggestive stuff they're complaining about. You can't shoot the, like Vernon Davis can't shoot the ball like a basketball. Is the NFL becoming less fun than it used to be?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, they have always done a great job of making the game great. Making the game, you know, great and making the game wonderful. And they continue to, you know, do that type of stuff, you know, every single year. They take measures to make the game great. And I feel like they continue to do those type of things. You know, we play in it's the most popular, you know, sport in America. And, you know, it's worldwide. It's a global sport. So I feel like they do all the stuff to make the game, you know, great, and I feel like they continue to make the game great.
I guess what I'm asking is, why can't you and Antonio Brown do the McKringleberry without getting flagged?
I don't know, man. I don't know. They say we can't do it, and I'm not going to do it. It's all type of, you know, celebrations that I could come up with.
That's true. You could always go different ways. All right, you did in this commercial with the Old Spice stuff, you got multiple commercials. What's more difficult, having a handful of bees or trying to juggle an egg and a spoon?
Both are more difficult, but I think racing the two girls with the egg and the spoon, that was tough. You know, they were pros at that stuff, and I had to try to keep up with them. So that was probably the toughest part that I had.
Will you admit publicly that you glued the egg to the spoon, or is that something you're going to try and keep secret?
How did y'all know that? Yeah, I did tape the egg to a spoon. And the crazy part about it, I was when I was racing the girls, they was like, "How is he beating me? He has a shooting time, and he still has the egg on a spoon." And we ran through the scene probably, you know, 6 or 7 times, and at the end of the day, I tipped the spoon over and I showed the little girls, and they were in shock. They were like, "Oh my God, he cheated."
That's awesome. Hey, all right, Von, listen, man, I really appreciate you taking the time, and looking forward to a fun Monday night matchup between you and the Texans, man. Thanks, and enjoy your season.
All right, guys, appreciate it.